Death May Surprise Us, a thriller in 6 episodes by Ted Willis. Dramatized by him from his novel of the same name. Part 6, Staccato. Starring Leslie Sands as Jack Stoddart, Mary Wimbush as Jess Stoddart, Cyril Shapps as Victor, and Jeffrey Matthews as Commander Knowles. Death May Surprise Us.
After a week in which it seemed that the police were getting nowhere, the breaks were at last beginning to come their way. They had arrested a young man called Tompkins, whose plane had been used in the plot to kidnap the Prime Minister. He stubbornly refused to talk, and Commander Knowles, who was in charge of the investigation, now moved in on Sue Swinton, another prime suspect. Time was running out, and he desperately needed to break down her resistance.
Please cooperate with Detective Inspector Wiley, Miss Swinton, for your own sake.
Now, you red bitch. You treacherous little red bitch. Let us begin.
No, right.
Shut up! Now, you speak when you're spoken to. Now, sit. Not there, here. Now, this chair. There. Yeah. Well, nice little place you got here. Yeah, all this beautiful hi-fi equipment.
No.
Sorry, me foot slipped. Went right through the cabinet. Ah, what have we got here? A little collection of drinks? Alcohol isn't good for a young lady. We better get rid of it. Vodka, sherry, wine. You don't need the glasses now, do you?
No! No! Stop it!
But I've hardly started. Ah, all this stuff on the shelf. A bookcase. A pot plant.
Oh, stop it! No, right!
Right? Don't you talk to me about right. You wouldn't know the meaning of the word. There, that's your nice little transistor radio gone for a Burton. Just a demonstration, sweetheart, of what I could do to you, what I will do to you if you don't talk.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't play the innocent. I haven't the time for games. Now talk. Tell me about your friend, George Sharp. Give me names, addresses, the lot.
I don't know what you mean.
Do you want me to beat it out of you? Don't think I won't.
You're hurting. Ow.
Well, I mean to. Now talk. I'll give you 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3.
No. No. All right. All right. What do you want to know? What do you want to know?
That's a sensible girl. Now, you wait here while I get Commander Knowles.
A revolutionary tribunal.
That is what I said, Prime Minister. Or you can call it a People's Court of Justice, if you prefer.
Whatever it's called, there'll be precious little justice in it for me. Tell me, what is the procedure of this so-called court?
The chairman, Victor, will open the proceedings. Then the prosecutor will present the case against you. In this instance, there will be no witnesses.
And the defense?
You may appoint someone to speak for you, or you may defend yourself. You have a choice.
Very democratic.
Sarcasm will not help, Mr. Prime Minister. I advise you to take the trial seriously.
Oh, I shall. I shall.
After the defense statement, there will be a general debate in which all present may participate.
Including me?
Of course. You see, the procedure is based on the dialectic principle. We believe in open, frank debate, unrestricted by legal mumbo-jumbo. We believe that this is the only path to the truth.
And after this open, frank debate?
The chairman will sum up and put the question to the vote.
Question?
Is the accused guilty as charged or not guilty?
I see. And if the vote goes against me?
The chairman will propose a motion of punishment.
And may I ask what crime or crimes I'm to be charged with?
You know the answer to that one. You will be charged with betrayal.
Betrayal?
Betrayal of the toiling masses and of your early beliefs and principles. Will you defend yourself, or do you want a spokesman to be appointed?
Will it make any difference?
How do you mean?
Oh, come. You know the whole thing's a farce. In your eyes, in the eyes of your friends, I'm guilty already. Why bother with your so-called trial?
Do you want a spokesman? Yes or no?
No. I'll speak for myself.
Good. The proceedings will begin at 8:30 sharp tomorrow morning.
Wait. Will my wife be there?
Yes.
Is that necessary? I mean, well, there's no need to make her suffer as well.
Your wife is stronger than you give her credit for, Mr. Stoddart. And in any case, isn't it a little late in the day for you to be concerned about her? You haven't cared over much in the past, have you?
How is she, Wiley?
Oh, she'll sing like a canary, sir.
Good. Let's go back in.
Careful how you tread, Commander. I've made a bit of a mess of the place, I'm afraid.
A mess? That's an understatement. Right, Miss Swinton. We want some answers to some important questions. You are a member of the group which abducted the Prime Minister and his wife, right?
Yes.
Speak up.
Yes.
Where are your friends holding the Prime Minister?
Don't know.
You're lying.
Truly, I don't know.
Were they taken abroad?
You heard answer.
No.
Were they taken abroad?
No.
They're in this country, then?
Yes, I think so.
Think? We don't want your thoughts. We want your answers.
The plan was to hold them in this country. But I don't know where, I swear.
Are they alive?
Yes, of course.
How can you be sure if you don't know where they're being held?
Because the idea was to put the Prime Minister on trial.
On trial?
What?
What for God's sake?
For crimes against the people. For betraying the working class.
Gordon Bennett, you wouldn't read about it, would you?
Who is the group leader?
We don't have a leader. All decisions are arrived at democratically.
Oh.
But I suppose Victor is the one we look to.
Victor who?
I don't know. The members of a field unit were given code names.
So Victor is not his real name?
No.
Mm-hmm. And the other members of this field unit, who are they?
I only know their code names. Apart from Victor, there's Valchik, Carol, Jane, Pepler and Thornby.
All British?
Valchik came to this country from Czechoslovakia in 1968. Carol is Dutch. Otherwise, yes. British.
Uh-huh. We shall want a detailed description of each one. Now, tell us about the aims of the group. What is its programme?
There isn't a programme. We call ourselves situationists.
You what?
Situationists. We try to create situations which will damage the structure of bourgeois society.
God.
The first task is to destroy capitalism. We will develop a programme after that has been done.
If there's anything or anybody left.
Well, I think that is all we can do here. Wiley, a word.
Oh, she really believes in that garbage. She really believes it.
Yes, I know. Sincerity can be very dangerous, especially in the hands of the young. On the other hand,
sir,
I don't think we've got much to crow about. We make a dog's breakfast of the world and then wonder why some of our kids lose their marbles.
Well, shall I take her in and book her?
Yes, sir, do that and get the detailed description.
What was that? Wiley, the balcony! The balcony!
What, sir? Oh, my God, she's thrown herself over! Oh, my God!
Here it is, on page 5.
Susan Eleanor Swinton, a secretary, aged 20, jumped to her death from the balcony of her 10th-floor flat in Oakfield early yesterday evening. A police spokesman said that foul play was not suspected.
Is that all? A few lines?
That's all.
They killed her, the pigs. They killed her.
Of course. And we shall exact retribution, never fear. For the moment, what we have to note is that the authorities are closing in. We don't know if Sue talks.
She wouldn't betray us.
We must not take anything for granted. Luckily, she knew nothing of this place. All the same, I think we should move on. Thornby, you will make the necessary arrangements for transport. Yeah. We'll move to rendezvous number 2 as soon as possible.
Right.
What about the Prime Minister?
There's no time to proceed with a full trial.
We'll bring him before the unit in 30 minutes.
And then what?
I shall propose that he be executed forthwith. As a reprisal for the death of our comrade, Sue Swinton.
We got it, sir. We got it.
Yeah?
We've been checking Tompkins, his files, bank account and all that. And we've put together all the
easy,
various...
Easy, Wiley, easy. You trip over your tongue. Sit down, get your breath back. And then tell me slowly and carefully exactly what it is that you've got.
Oh, I've got the details here, sir. Now, first, for the past year, Tompkins has been making regular monthly payments to an organisation called the Institute of Industrial and Technological Development. He's paid out a total of £112,000.
Did you check out this institute?
Yes, sir. That's all intents and purposes. It don't exist.
Oh.
Well, it had a small office in Gray's Inn Road up to about 2 months ago and some headed notepaper, and that's all.
But this institute must have had a bank account.
Well, it did. The checks from Tompkins were paid in by a man called Victor King.
Victor? According to the girl, the leader of the terrorist group was called Victor.
Exactly. And this man, Victor King, also controlled the Institute's checkbook and drew out large sums at regular intervals.
So, that's how the operation was financed.
Yeah. And now listen to this, sir. It gets better.
Well, never mind the build-up. Just tell me.
Right. Well, 6 months ago, Tompkins bought a large country house for £280,000.
Yes.
And he got about half of that on a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal was arranged in the normal way by a firm of reputable estate agents.
For crying out loud, man, never mind the fiddling details. This house, where is it? Well, where is it?
It's called Live House. It's in Northants, about 2 miles outside a village called Little Bexby. Roughly 35 miles from here.
That must be it. That must be where they're holding the PM, under our noses. Right under our stupid noses.
Jack Everett Stoddart. In the name of the working people and revolutionary intellectuals of Britain, on behalf of the toiling and oppressed masses all over the world, we charge that you are an enemy of the working class, an agent of capitalism and imperialism. For these crimes, and for the murder by your fascist hirelings of our dear comrade, Susan Swinton, we pronounce you guilty.
Guilty? I was told that I would be given an opportunity to speak before you reached a verdict.
We've decided not to waste time. Your guilt is obvious, but you may speak in mitigation if you wish.
I see. I'm to be allowed to beg for mercy. No more than that. Well, I'm afraid that isn't possible for several reasons. Most important, I suppose, is that I still have a little dignity left. I don't doubt that you've already decided to kill me. Such a murder
execution.
Will...
Execution!
No!
You
no!
will be executed!
You can't! No!
Mrs. Stoddart, if you can't keep silent, you'll be removed.
You're mad. You're all mad.
Quiet!
Please! Please! He's done nothing to harm you. Please!
Take her
please.
Out! Kill her! Come!
No. No, Jane!
Come with me! Come.
Jane, help me! Speak
up!
You can't do this! Jack! Jack!
I'm sure that you must all be very proud of yourselves.
Get on with it. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. In a strange sort of way, I believe that I am in your debt. Meeting you has restored my faith in fundamentals. I now know that I still believe, deeply believe, in civil liberty, free political institutions, the dignity of the individual, all the things we loosely call democracy. For me, democracy is not merely a way of making peaceful political change. It is a way of life which is honourable and good in its own right.
Your attention, gentlemen, please. This map gives you a clear indication of the layout. Our information is that two of the terrorists are in the lodge here at the front gates. They control the alarm system. Those men will be immobilized by the SAS unit. When the lodge is secure, the gates will be opened. The police marksmen will take up concealed positions around the perimeter of the house. Here.
You have accused me of betrayal. There is some truth in the charge, I admit it. But I believe with all my heart that it is you and people like you who are the real betrayers. By resorting to terrorism and violence, you're not simply rejecting democracy, you are helping the far right to power. People will grow tired of the chaos and disorder you create, and they'll seek a savior, a strong man of the right to restore order. And that will spell the end, not only for you, but for the unions, the minorities, anyone with the slightest...
At this stage, we have to assume that the Prime Minister and his wife are still alive. And our main purpose must be to see that they remain so, that we bring them out alive. We should try mediation at first. If this doesn't work, the SAS unit, backed up by police marksmen...
What makes you doubly dangerous is that you have closed and shuttered minds. That is an offence in the old. It is unforgivable in the young. You have retreated behind a wall of slogans, dogma and jargon. You hear only what you want to hear.
How much longer are we going to listen to this garbage?
Let him finish.
I've almost done. You're going to kill me. Well and good. People die every day. And I've lived for almost 60 years, so I can't complain. But you must know that there'll be a terrible reaction to this deed. Not because my life is important, far from it, but because I happen to be the elected Prime Minister. Your violence will provoke violence, and in that violence you'll probably lose your lives, which is a pity because you're young. Even if you were to live and to succeed in making your revolution, you would be caught in a trap of your own making, because what you win with violence and terror can only be held by violence and terror.
You must finish.
As you wish. I have your pledge concerning my wife. She will go free.
If it is possible, she will go free.
What do you mean, if it's possible? You promise.
Circumstances change. Now, no more arguments. The execution will take place in 30 minutes. You can spend that time with your wife. Take him away!
But you promised! She's done nothing! You promised!
Just had a signal from the lodge, sir. The SAS have taken over. One man captured, and the alarm system's been immobilised.
Right. Order the marksman into position. We'll go in 10 minutes.
Jack. Oh, Jack. Jack.
There, there. It's all right. It's all right.
Oh.
Is there anything I can get you?
No. Just leave us alone.
Very well.
Oh, Jack, it's like a nightmare. Did they mean what they said about execution?
Yes. I'm afraid so.
Well, perhaps if I could talk to them.
They're fanatics, love. Fanatics don't listen to other people. There's one good thing about this situation. It certainly concentrates the mind.
Oh, love.
I mean, you go through life thinking that something's important. Money, career, power, whatever. You even begin to think that you're important. Then suddenly, you're told that you're going to die.
Oh, Jack.
Shush, shush. I don't welcome death, love, but I'm not afraid of it either. No. What makes me sad, bitter if you like, is the thought that most of the things that were important to me don't really matter a tuppenny damn. Why couldn't I see that before instead of now, when it's too late?
Now, Jack, you mustn't put yourself down. You've achieved such a lot. You've helped so many people.
I haven't helped you much, have I?
Did you hear me complain?
No, you never would. Jess, love, I just want to say...
No, no, Jack, I don't want to hear.
I want to say I'm sorry.
No,
for...
that least of all. I mean it, Jack.
You are incredible. Really.
Attention, please, attention. This is an official police announcement. I have to tell you that we are here in force... and that the house is completely surrounded. Resistance of any kind will be futile.
They must have taken over the lodge. I can't raise Alan.
Quiet, listen.
In your own interests, please take note of the following instructions. One, you will release the Prime Minister and Mrs. Stoddart unharmed and allow them to leave by the front door of the house.
Over my dead body. Will you listen, damn it?
Two, 1 minute after their release... all other occupants of the house will come out, also, by the main door, with their hands above their heads. Three, we shall give you 5 minutes. At the end of that time, you will hang a white cloth from one of the upper windows to indicate that you have understood these instructions and will obey them. I repeat, the house is surrounded. It is now 11:32 hours. You have until 11:37.
How did they find us? How?
Tompkins was the only one outside who knew the location. They must have arrested him and forced him to talk.
Right.
We don't know what happened. In any case, it's academic now.
There's a marksman. He's in the oak tree across the drive. I saw him move. Look.
Where? Where do you mean?
There, in the upper branches, to the left.
Belchick, pass me that rifle.
What are you going to do?
What do you think? Give the pigs the only kind of answer they understand.
You got him! A great shot!
No.
Pull yourself together, Jane. This is the moment of confrontation. A chance to write this day and our cause into the history books. It's exhilarating. Khalil, give me the flag from the storeroom.
Well, what do you want us to do, sir?
Do as before. Hold fire until I give the order.
But they killed one of our men, sir.
I know, but we cannot respond until we're sure of the Prime Minister and his wife.
There's activity at one of the upper windows, sir. Look, there.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Sir?
They're putting out a flag.
A red flag.
And they're singing. Listen. Oh, it don't seem real. In a few weeks' time, I'll find it hard to believe this really happened.
The commander knows.
Colonel Ackland. Yes.
I've been taking a good look at that house. It's a big place, very big. The people inside must be pushed to cover it all. Do we know how many there are?
We think 5, possibly 6.
At all. I imagine there'll be more. It makes it easier. Piece of cake.
Makes what easier?
As I said, I've done a recce of the house. There's a part at the back which looks interesting. The people in the house can only cover the approach to it from one point. And once someone actually got to the base of that wall, they couldn't cover it at all.
And then?
My chaps could go up that wall like monkeys up a stick. We could get men onto that first floor balcony, and more men onto the second floor and the roof. We could wrap the thing up from those positions.
Don't underestimate them, Colonel. They've already killed one man. They're fanatics.
So are my men. At least they are when it comes to a situation like this. What do you say? Shall we have a go?
Our first consideration must be to get the Prime Minister and his wife out alive.
I know, and I reckon my idea gives the best chance of doing just that.
All right, Colonel. Get your men in position. How long will it take?
15 minutes, maximum. I'll see you.
Jack, what are you doing?
Give me a hand. I want to block that door if we can get this wardrobe into place. We've got friends out there, Jess, and if we can hold the gang off for a while, buy a little time. Come on. Now the bed. Who is that?
This is Commander Knowles of the police. Am I speaking to Victor?
Yes.
Good. Listen, I wish to avoid further bloodshed. To that end,
no, Commander, no. You listen to me. I know your game. You want to keep us talking, wear us down, establish a relationship, like you did at the Balcom Street siege. Well, it won't wash with us. There'll be no talking, no negotiation.
But listen.
No talk. No negotiation! You heard that, comrades? If there are any of you who wish to surrender, you are free to do so. I shall stay and fight.
And take a few of the pigs with us.
I'll stay.
I'm for fighting.
Jane?
Yes, yes!
Good, good! We won't win, comrades. The forces against us are too strong. But we can set an example today that will inspire millions. Do you remember the words of Che Guevara? Wherever death may surprise us, it will be welcome, for other men will come forward to echo our funeral dirge in the staccato of machine guns!
Staccato!
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 Carol, bring down the Prime Minister and his wife. We'll make their execution proof that we mean what we say!
What's that?
Never mind, get the prisoners!
Hold it! Put your hands above your head.
Staccato!
They were killed, every last one of them. Our casualties were one policeman and one soldier. The Prime Minister and his wife came out safely, but he was never quite the same man. Some say he was a better man. A month or so after returning to duty, he resigned the leadership and settled for being a backbench MP. As for the country, It settled back again into its well-known inertia, unconsciously preparing the ground for more terrorism. In politics, it seems, nobody learns any lessons.
Death May Surprise Us by Ted Willis starred Leslie Sands as Jack Stoddart, Mary Wimbush as Jess Stoddart, Cyril Shapps as Victor, and Jeffrey Matthews as Commander Knowles. Hugh Lashwood was Preston Lockwood, Sue Swinton, Charlotte Long, Inspector Wiley, Scott Cherry, Jane, Moya Leslie, Thornby, Colin Starkey, Valchik, Anthony Daniels, Carell, Jonathan Owen, and Colonel Ackland was Bernard Brown. Death May Surprise Us was dramatized by Ted Willis from his novel of the same name. Technical presentation was by Carol McShane, Sue Templeman, and Roger Daines. And the serial was directed by Graham Gold.